Good morning, Oak Point Community Church and friends. This morning I am standing in for Pastor Heath as we begin this Memorial Day weekend. And I just want to thank everyone for being joining us this morning. And I hope and pray that the sermon today is encouraging to you and helps you focus on the things of the gospel and things that that Christ has done for us. So as we begin today, let me pray and start the sermon. Father, we thank you so much for the opportunity to get together today, to look at your word, and to know with certainty your grace and your mercy. Thank you so much for the gift of your son and what he has done for us, his sacrifice on the cross. Help us to keep this straight, Lord, as we go out into a world that is looking for everything but, and to know the difference between the true and the false teaching and false gospels, Lord. We thank you today, and Lord, help me to fully bring your word to light today. We thank you so much for, again, bringing your scripture, that we might know you and know who you really are, Lord. And we pray that this would be reflected in sermon today in our lives, in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, to start today, the title of my sermon is Foolish Galatians. It's taken mostly from Galatians chapter 3. And I did this, I thought it would be a good follow-on to what Pastor Heath has been talking about from 2 Peter and 1 Peter, talking about the challenges to the gospel and false teachers. So I'm going to start this morning in Galatians chapter 1, just to give you a little bit of a background, and then we're going to go through Galatians chapter 3, verses 1 through 15. So, starting with Galatians 1, let me read through this. I'm astonished that you are so quickly deserting him who called you in the grace of Christ and are turning to a different gospel. Not that there is another one, but there are some who trouble you and want to distort the gospel of Christ. But even if we or an angel from heaven should preach to you a gospel contrary to the one we preach to you, let him be accursed. As we have said before, so I now say again, if anyone is preaching to you a gospel contrary to the one you received, let him be accursed. Again, this is the background to what we'll be talking about today. Paul goes deeper into this problem in Galatians chapter 3. So let me now read the scripture that we'll be talking about today, the main part of it, from Galatians chapter 3, verses 1 through 15. O foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you? It was before your eyes that Jesus Christ was publicly portrayed as crucified. Let me ask you this. Did you receive the Spirit by works of the law or by hearing with faith? Are you so foolish? Having begun by the Spirit, are you now being perfected by the flesh? Did you suffer so many things in vain, if indeed it was in vain? Does he who supplies the Spirit to you and works miracles among you do so by works of the law or by hearing with faith? Just as Abraham believed God and it was credited, it counted to him as righteousness, know then that it is those of faith who are the sons of Abraham. And Scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the Gentiles by faith, preached the gospel beforehand to Abraham, saying, in you shall all the nations be blessed. So then, those who are of faith are blessed along with Abraham, the man of faith. For all who rely on the works of the law are under a curse, for it is written, cursed be anyone who does not abide by all things written in the book of the law and do them. Now it is evident that no one is justified before God by the law, for the righteous will live by faith. But the law is not of faith, rather the one who does them shall live by them. Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone who is hanged on a tree, so that in Christ Jesus the blessing of Abraham might come to the Gentiles, so that we might receive the promised Spirit through faith. And that is our main scripture today, again, Galatians chapter 3, verses 1 through 15. So before we go into examining the scripture in more depth, I wanted to give you a little bit of background about who the Galatians were, what the province of Galatia is all about and give you a little bit of historical background here. So Galatia was incorporated into the Roman Empire around 25 BC by the Emperor Augustus. So this province was apparently very enthusiastically loyal to Rome. And the New Testament indicates that Paul had passed through this area several times on his missionary journeys. If you look at the map that's been included in the slides here, you can see that indeed he did pass back and forth through this area. And there were a number of churches in that area, notably Antioch of Syria. There's actually two Antiochs, if you were wondering about that. If you look in the lower right-hand side, there's a Syrian Antioch too. Both of those locations had churches, as far as I understand. But there are also the cities of Iconium, Lystra, and Derbe in that area. Again, those are in the modern-day country that we call Turkey today. So after Paul's departure on his missionary journey, apparently there were people that came from James who were trying to convince the Gentiles at that time who, again, were not brought up in the law or the Mosaic law and the things that were part of observance of the law. In other words, circumcision, the Sabbath observance, and the things that the Jews were doing as part of their religious background at the time. So although these men came from James, and Peter and Barnabas were actually part of this group, Paul is making the point in to the Galatians here that the law is separate from the gospel. The law is intended to lead us to Christ and is not a replacement for the gospel. So this is what we're going to be talking about today in a little bit more detail. And it gets into areas that, again, some of the challenges to our in current modern culture aren't necessarily this, but there are things that actually come close to this in our society today. And those are the things that I think are most important for us as members of the church and of faithful servants of Jesus, to keep things in perspective and not allow what Jesus has done for us to be replaced by our own efforts. That's the main point of everything that we're going to be talking about today. So some of the other questions that I hope to answer today, go to the next slide there. Number one, why does Paul address the Galatians as fools? Number two, what were the other gospels that the Galatians had adopted? What are the other gospels of our era? As I mentioned, how does this relate to what we're doing in today? And how do we maintain the proper gospel, the historical gospel that is reflected in Scripture, and what Christ has done for us, the truth of what the Lord has done for us? Number four, what are the consequences for someone, even an angel, who preached or proclaimed another gospel? Probably could answer that one already from what we heard in Scripture. Number five, what did Abraham do to become righteous? Number six, why is it important to be able to discern the difference between the true gospel and ideas that are not the gospel? And number seven, what can we do to avoid being led into error, as the Galatians were, along with Peter, Barnabas, and possibly even James? So there's, you know, some serious problems going on here, and the apostles Paul had to correct Peter in this, and that's a major part of the book of Galatians that we're not going to talk about today. But it's important that we understand that there are a lot of challenges to keeping the truth, and we need to be on our guard against those things. So let's move on and talk about, again, where we began in Galatians chapter 1. The background here is that the Galatians were turning to a different gospel. So there were those who were distorting the gospel of Christ. And as we mentioned before, Paul puts us in serious terms. Even if an angel from heaven should preach a gospel contrary, let him be accursed. So this word is comes from, I believe, the Greek word is anathema, and it means that, and condemned. So serious words from Paul here. There are eternal consequences for anyone who, even an angel from heaven, a messenger of God, who distorts, discredits, or denies the true gospel. So there are challenges to this in our world today, where people claim experiences that are contrary to the gospel, to what is scripturally and historically written, the things that were witnessed by the apostles who walked with Jesus. And it's important that we keep things straight. Our experiences do not define the truth of what the gospel is and what it's all about. What it's all about is the sacrifice of Jesus for our sins on the cross. And we need to keep that in the forefront. And that's what Paul is doing today. Going on to our main portion of scripture today from Galatians 3, 1 through 15. Paul talks about the foolish Galatians. This is a pretty serious, calling someone a fool is pretty radical. We don't normally do that today. But Paul was really concerned about what was happening there. He starts out saying, "Oh, foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you?" I mean, they are really taken, he's really taken them to task here for believing things that are not contrary with the scripture. And he starts out by saying, did you receive the Spirit by works of the law or by hearing with faith? In other words, he's saying, okay, did you do this through the law or was it by faith? And very clearly, Paul, who had preached the gospel, is by faith and not by observance of the law. So that is the main part of what we're doing here in Galatia, the main part of the problem. But let me quote from another, from 1 Corinthians. The Corinthian church was also primarily Gentiles, but it talked a little bit about here. Paul uses this foolishness theme again in 1 Corinthians 1:18 through 19, and then 24 and 25 is the counter to that. Let me read those. So reading out of 1 Corinthians again, chapter 1. For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, the intelligence of the intelligent I will frustrate. So this, Paul is talking about those who are not, do not believe the gospel is the way, the truth, and the life. And he contrasts that in verse 24 and 25. But to those whom God has called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. For the foolishness of God is wiser than human wisdom, and the weakness of God is stronger than human strength. So when we adopt other things that are not the true gospel, we are fools in the eyes of God, although in the world might say, oh yeah, this is the way, this is the truth. So it's important that what we accept as truth comes from the true scriptures. And we'll talk about some ways of doing that at the end, I guess you could probably guess. Scripture is the main part of this. Going on, Paul now brings into focus Abraham. So one of the parts of the early church that we have to understand here is that the Jews were in, the early church was made up entirely of Jewish believers. And when Paul was sent to the Gentiles, it was new. It was something that and Peter later on is called to the Gentiles. And we could go through all of that in Acts. However, the background here is really important that he is speaking both to Jew and Gentile. So the main part of what they were telling the Gentiles is that that Abraham was the foundation of all this. However, we look back at what happened with Abraham here, and let me read that part from Galatians chapter 3. Does he who supplies the Spirit to you and works miracles among you do so by works of the law or by hearing with faith? Just as Abraham believed God and it was credited to him as righteousness. So Abraham believed that God could make him the man that he was not able to be in his flesh. And that's the part that we have to understand today. There are so many systems in the world today that say, well, if we're just a better person or if we're nice or kind, those things are all good, but they don't replace what Christ has done for us on the cross. We must, in faith, trust what Jesus has done. And when we go back to what happened with Abraham, if you remember, and this is from Genesis chapter 22, and let me read that today. The whole chapter 22 explains what's happening when Abraham is tested by God and told to take his very own son, who was born to him late in his life and was a promise, born by a promise from God, and sacrifice him. So when Abraham got to that place and he was ready to obey God, then this was said, then the Lord told him this from Genesis 22:2. Do not lay a hand on the boy, he said. Do not do anything to him. Now I know that you fear God, because you have not withheld from me your son, your only son. So Abraham was living by faith. He had placed his trust in God, even to be willing to sacrifice his only son, Isaac. Abraham believed that God could not only raise Isaac from the dead, but make him the man who he could not be in life and through the law. And that's the point here. If we read all of Genesis 1, and I encourage you to do this, Genesis 22, 1 through 16, you see that whole scenario being played out. And then in addition to that, Hebrews 11, 17 through 19 explains this again in context of the gospel as we know it today. And the revealed part of what God was doing, even as early as Abraham, he was building people by faith who trust him. And that's the main point of, again, what we're talking about today. Do we do this on our own through the law, or do we trust God? So he goes on from Galatians 3:10 now. For all who rely on works of the law are under a curse, for it is written, cursed be everyone who does not abide by all things written in the book of the law and do them. So we now see this. He's contrasting the life of faith by Abraham and the life that is someone trying to live by the law and justify themselves by the law. If we do not do everything written in the law, we cannot, we have failed. But what Jesus did is that he took on the cost of this. And it goes on to say in Galatians 3:11 here, now it's evident that no one is justified before God by the law, for the righteous shall live by faith. But the law is not of faith, but rather the one who does them shall live by them. I'm sorry. But the law is not of faith, rather the one who does them shall live by them. Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us. So Jesus took on the penalty of not following the law for us. And through faith, we inherit what he has done for us. So the true gospel is all about what Jesus did, and nothing about what we have done. It is all about his sacrifice, his glory, what he has done, and what we call imputed righteousness, or in other words, that the righteousness that Jesus bought for us by truly following all the aspects of the law and then taking on the penalty for those being innocent, taking on the penalty of those who did not follow the law. So what can we learn from all of this? Number one, we need to know for sure that the gospel is about following Jesus, about placing our trust in what he's done for us on the cross. When I came to Christ, a friend of mine pointed out to me that if righteousness, and this is from Galatians chapter 2, if righteousness could be gained through the law, then Christ died for nothing. When we try to do this on our own, We are pushing Christ aside and saying, we can do this. I can please God on my own. And that's not possible. Our human nature keeps us from doing that. But God knows that. He understands that. But he can't just excuse our sin. Our sin causes the things that we see in our world, hatred, violence, the ugly things that come up, our selfishness and greed. But God designed us to be something greater than that. And he's restoring us through Jesus. The only way is through Jesus. And when we get this wrong, it's not just about doing good things. It's about becoming different people. when we are saved, we are born again, and we're reset. We are new creations in Christ. And that's the whole point of everything that we are talking about today. So how can we then keep this in focus? Number one, we have to understand that we can be deceived. We're not immune. Even Peter and Barnabas were led astray, perhaps even in James, since the men who caused this came from him. So we have to be on guard. We have to know that the world has many false gospels, pseudo-gospels, and things and systems that may look like the gospel, but they're definitely not. They're completely the opposite if they don't honor and glorify what Jesus has done. We can do nice things, and there are a lot of ministries in the world today that combine doing things to help people in difficult situations, and we definitely want to do that. Those are the things that God talks about that are created in advance, the good works that are created in advance to do as a result of a relationship with Christ, but not as a substitute for a relationship with God through Jesus. So we need to make sure that we keep that priority and perspective in view as we're looking at the world. Number two, we need each other. As we meet either online here or in church on Sunday, we need each other to keep us in line. That's why we do sermons. That's why we talk like this on Sunday. Paul had to go to Galatia, and it says in another part of Galatians, oppose Peter to his face because he was clearly in the wrong. So there are times that even, you're talking about two apostles here, two of the greatest apostles that we know, and yet Paul had to bring Peter back into, point out, hey, you're going the wrong direction here. This isn't the gospel. So when we challenge each other to follow the truth of the gospel, and sometimes, when we meet on Saturdays in men's Bible study, I'm really blessed to hear some of the perspectives and understanding from the other men in our Bible study. And that's what a church is for. We're here to build each other up, to support each other in the faith, and to show the world the true gospel. Number three, there is no substitute for the gospel. I think I've said this a number of times already, but even our best thoughts, ideas, actions, intents can never measure up to the standard of holiness that God expects from us and has created us to be. So our human nature has polluted that, and we need to be brought back into that relationship. But there's a penalty that has to be paid and can only be paid through Jesus. We can't do it ourselves, and only he can do that. That is the reset that comes from that. We're new creations in Christ, makes us capable of again, pleasing God, not because of what we're doing, but because of what Jesus has done for us. Then we can live in true righteousness and holiness based on what Jesus has done. So when we proclaim and preach other gospels, we're saying things that are counter to that. We are actually working against what God has done. The simple truth of the gospel that can be explained and understood and received by even a child is what we need to keep in mind and in place today. It is so important that the truth of the gospel is transmitted to the world today. They know that our Savior, what he did for all of us, that can be attained, again, through simply our faith and our trust and belief in that Jesus has done this for us. Number four, we need to know God and know Scripture to keep from following other gospels. Knowing God's word allows us to know him, which is important, know who he is and who he is not, recognize the things that there are the truth and the things that are not from him that are lies. John 17:2, as Jesus is praying for the church, he states this: now this is eternal life, that they know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. Again, John chapter 17, verse 3. So the true gospel is fully revealed in Scripture, and there are warnings not to add to it or subtract from it. If you go into Revelation 22:18-19, I won't read that today for the matter of time, but there are warnings that we not add to or subtract from the gospel. And the reason for that is to keep the focus on what's true and what the gospel is all about. It's all about Jesus, all about God's work in reforming and restoring us to his to a relationship, a full relationship with him. And it's not that God doesn't love us before that, but he cannot accept people who reject him, who are sin is more than just a breaking of a law. It is rebellion against God, and we need to understand that. So the last one here, and I think the Psalms and Proverbs do a really good job of bringing this to light. So I'm going to quote three of them today. But we need to fear God, and we need to fear not in a kind of fear where we tremble on someone who's going to hurt us, but fear in terms of awesome respect for the God who created the universe, who fills the universe, who created this world and all the things here. We're a lifeboat in the middle of a universe that's so vast that I can't even begin to understand it. It's beyond our understanding. But God is one who that we need to fear and respect. And these three scriptures here, I think, say, again, going back to the foolishness part, address that as well. Start with Psalm 111, verse 10. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. All who follow his precepts have good understanding. To him belongs eternal praise. Proverbs 1:7. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. Again, going back to Paul's initial statement in chapter 3, foolish Galatians, we're fools when we reject the goodness of God and what he's done for us and try to replace it with something of our own making. And finally, Proverbs 9, 10 through 11, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. For through wisdom your days will be many, and years will be added to your life. And that is what I pray for you today as we end this sermon. Let me pray. And Father, thank you, Lord, for your gospel. Thank you for what Jesus has done for us. We pray today as we go out into the world, Lord, that you would give us understanding, clear understanding of what is of the gospel and what is not of the gospel. Help us to follow you, Lord, with all of our heart, being faithful to you, Lord, and loyal to you. And that we might know you and help others to know and learn who you are. Thank you for your grace. Thank you for your mercy. Thank you for all that you've done for us, Lord. We end this time now in Jesus' name. Amen.